to the Spheres of Spirit with Natzy Myers, aka the Lady of the Light. Natzy will discuss the everyday magic and wisdom of spirit which surrounds each of us, waiting to be discovered. She will share some of her remarkable orb photos, proving that our angels, guides, loved ones in spirit, and even pets surround us and guide us in our physical world. During this episode, Natzy will discuss one of the many spheres or aspects of spirit available to us based on her orb photography. She will also share a special channeled message from her guide, Leonini, and do an oracle card reading to help guide you along your personal spiritual adventure. And now, here is your host, orb photographer, author, medium, and speaker, Natzy Myers.
Hi, welcome to the Spheres of Spirit. Thank you for spending some time with us today. I'm super excited because, as you can see, I have a very special guest, and I'd like my audience to meet Catherine Ann Clement. Hi, Catherine Ann.
Hi, thanks welcome. For having me.
Oh, thank you for agreeing to be on the show. Let me tell my audience a little bit about you.
Sure.
So Catherine Ann is a Hay House author. She has authored and co-authored 8 books. Is that true now or is it 9?
I think it's 9 now.
9 books. That carry light codes and impart activations to the reader. As an international speaker, healer, and channel for the hosts of heaven, her work focuses on returning the balance of the divine feminine to planet Earth, along with helping humanity to awaken so that we may successfully shift from the third dimension into the higher dimensions of the new Earth. No small task.
No.
So today, as if you saw the what's coming up on my show, I said we were going to talk about raising our frequencies. And that's what this is kind of all about. But I wanted to show you first one of my orb pictures and a quote that I attached to it that is so perfect for this show. So Chris, can we bring that up real quick? So this quote says, and I love this orb, it's a beautiful orb, and blue to me is a teacher. So we must change our energy to change our lives. What does that mean? We must change our energy to change our lives. Thank you, Chris. So that's what Catherine Ann and I are going to discuss today. But I'm going to start at the beginning, if I can, Catherine Ann.
Sure.
And the beginning for me is the book, Anna, Grandmother of Jesus. Do you have that copy there that you can hold up for our...
This is the Hay House version.
Right.
We signed on with Hay House in 2017.
So I was astounded to read that even before you signed up with Hay House, you sold over 50,000 books just by word of mouth,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Wow. You know, that's what really got me interested in meeting Catherine Ann is this book fell in my lap. I read it. I was astounded. I'm going to read to you just this little synopsis. Mm-hmm. It says, told through the gentle and heartwarming voice of Anna herself, Anna, the grandmother of Jesus. Mm-hmm. This book offers insight into unknown places the Holy Family visited, people they knew, and intimate details of their daily struggle to complete the resurrection challenges. You will learn more about the Essenes of Mount Carmel and their secret teachings and initiations and gain a new understanding of Jesus's message. This was an incredible book, and I know that you read it. I mean, this book literally, you know, I said, it fills in so many gaps.
Yes.
So would you tell us how this book was written?
Sure. Actually, Claire Hartsong channeled this first book. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know Claire yet when this was released. And it's in part of my autobiography, Raising My Frequency, that we'll talk about a little bit later, but I just had this series of events and breadcrumbs that led me to this book. And I was in an advanced DNA healing training course in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho in 2004. And I had been raised Catholic. I mean, I completely ditched Catholicism because it just didn't resonate with me. And I'm going, you know, where is the devotion? Where is the energy in it? And I couldn't find it. So I wasn't interested after that in anything remotely Christian. So the universe had to work really hard to get me together with Claire Hartsong because I just wasn't at all. So I had heard about this book and I'm going, oh, it's just the usual Christian stuff. So I was at this advanced DNA healing and the head of the school stood up on the third day and said, I just read the best book I've read in eons called On a Grandmother of Jesus. And I thought, not exactly my subject matter, you know, but right. If she's passionate, I better go check it out. So I went and bought the copy, blew my socks off.
Yeah, mine too.
I mean, so different. And after I read it, the thing that stood out most was in her afterward, she talks about meeting the ascended master, Saint Germain, in a physical body in the Grand Tetons. Well, I had what was an unfolding story. I didn't realize it at the time. I didn't know who he was until 2 years later, but I had an experience with this bum in Boston and who had turned out to be Saint Germain in a physical body. And I had never come across anybody that I had heard of that had, you know, met him also in a physical body. So my guides kept telling me to email Claire. And I'm like, you know, I don't really, you know, put myself out to authors or celebrities. And they kept insisting. So finally I did.
Got to follow those nudges, right?
Yeah. But I didn't hear back. I'm going, who am I? I'm just some peon that went and bought the book, right? So about 6 or 8 months after I read the book, I sent her the email. I didn't get a response. And then I got a response saying she had a cancellation for a reading with Anna. I didn't even know she did private readings with Anna. So I had just, which is all part of the story in my autobiography.
It was an amazing story.
A reading with somebody that channeled Saint Germain. I got all my questions answered. I thought, well, why do I need to have this? So I forgot about it. I didn't mean to ignore Claire and not respond. So 3 weeks after that, she called me up on the phone to confirm my reading for March 8th. I'm going, what reading? I wanted to know about, you know, your Saint Germain experience. She goes, oh yeah, I remember that now. And then we talked a little and she got really emotional. And she goes, I think Anna really wants to speak to you. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
So I decided I better keep the reading. So that's
good idea.
A series of events, right, that about a year, a little more, was it a year or was it 2 years later? I get my timing mixed up. Eventually, within a pretty short period of time, it led to me going and moving to Springdale, Utah to be part of Claire's support team for bringing through the sequel. And then all evolved into something different.
Right. So let's go back to Anna, Grandmother of Jesus, sure. And why it just knocked our socks off so much for my audience. This was a channeled book. So this Claire Hartsong is a channel, and Anna started coming through her and said, pretty much, you know, you're going to write this book. But the revelations in the book, you know, we had all been familiar with the Da Vinci Code, where they hinted at Jesus and Mary Magdalene being betrothed to each other, right? And carrying on the line. This book filled in those, or expanded upon that,
right,
you know, beyond my wildest imagination. But it is, when you read it, audience, if you ever decide to get this book, it's just, when you read it, you can feel the energy. And I know all the books that we're going to talk about, that has the same effect on the reader.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do, sorry, I'm just going to put myself in the center there.
There you go.
When I've done workshops all over the world, everybody has that same reaction. And what I've realized is it's soul memory for people, which is why it's such a potent book, because it, you know, it activates their soul memory. And it isn't just a story they're reading. You know, they're actually having a DNA activation as they read it.
Yeah, and you read it like it's literally firsthand knowledge of what went on then. You know, just it's an incredible, incredible book. So that led to you, as you stated then, to contact. We're talking about this because where it's going to lead here.
Yes.
and your guides put you together with Claire Hartsong, and you guys literally birthed the next book.
Yes.
yep. Anna, Voice of the Magdalens.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about the Magdalens in a little bit, but let me read the synopsis on this book for my audience. This book by Claire Hartsong and Catherine Ann Clement is the sequel to Claire's first book. Let me skip ahead. The Journey with Anna, the Holy Family, and 18 other Magdalene Essenes. I love that term, which we're going to clarify here in a minute. As they carry their work forward into France and Britain after Yeshua's crucifixion and resurrection, disclosing personal and deeply transforming experiences with the resurrected Yeshua. So it says, receive a greater understanding of the Christ drama that occurred 2,000 years ago and its relevance to present day humanity and your own awakening. And it is incredible. When you were brought in to do this work, you approached this book in a totally different way because you played a new role, correct, in how Claire was getting the information. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. So, you know, we understood, and there was another friend who has chosen to remain anonymous. So she and I moved to Springdale, Utah, at the entrance to Zion National Park, where Claire was living at the time, to be her support team. So we were going to, you know, help her. We were going to help translate we were going to just do whatever she needed. And Claire went into her bedroom where her computer was. And the second day she came out and she said, the energy's really flat. It's not the same heightened energy that I experienced when I was channeling Anna for the, you know, first Anna Grandmother of Jesus book. So she asked Anna what the problem was. And Anna said, the answer lies outside the door. Go ask Catherine Ann for a past life regression. Because I was trained in quantum healing hypnosis with Dolores Cannon. So, you know, I had that, you know, I had done that, I believe, in 2003 or 2004. Uh-huh. So I had that basis. So we, you know, I just had Claire lay down in the couch and we used a slightly different protocol, but I started with my usual, you know, way I was trained. And then the Councils of Light came in and gave us a very specific protocol and process to use for these sessions. So Claire goes, oh my God, this is so much easier, you know, because I just put the tape recorder on and I just led through. I asked the questions, whatever I was guided to ask, and these different characters came through. And we never knew who it was going to be. So I always had to establish, you know, who it was, what their name was, if it was an adult, if it was a child, if it was a male, if it was a female, you know, where they were, what was going on. So it's a little mundane in some of the beginning of the chapters because I have to establish who's showing up, you know?
Sure, yeah.
So that's how all of this very unusual and controversial information came through, was through these, you know, perspectives of these 18 other characters besides Anna. It wasn't only from her first person voice like the first book was.
Ah, 18.
Yeah. So it filled in all kinds of interesting things and gaps about their life, their daily life, how it interacted with their spiritual journey and their spiritual training. So there were so many things that were filled in as they each shared their experiences and their stories, that just gave a whole much broader perspective. So, of course, we've talked about this many times since then. We think that the Councils of Light always had this plan in mind to open it up beyond just the individual voice of Anna coming through.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, to continue on with this synopsis of your second book here, it says the seeding of light is revealed. The dispersion of Anna's, Mother Mary's, and Jesus's enlightened descendants, whose bloodline, in quotes, acts as a living catalyst for the awakening of your own Christ Magdalene potential today. Long-held secrets are revealed, which assist the lifting. So can we talk about Magdalenes?
Yes.
You know, when before I read this book, I only knew, okay, there's Mary Magdalene.
Right.
You know, Magdalene's her last name.
right.
You know, but what are Magdalenes? What did you learn doing this book?
So in the beginning with Anna, we learned that Magdalene wasn't just an individual. It was actually like an order of consciousness, although that's even limiting, but, you know, it's hard to describe what they are. And Magdalenes carry a certain frequency. And both men and women are Magdalenes. It's not just women. So all of the Essenes in that day were all Magdalenes. And Anna said to us, the three of us, that summer in 2006 when we were working together, she turned to us and said, all of you, meaning the Magdalenes, not just the three of us, have been working on the inner planes for eons for the roles you're stepping into today. And then she said that what happened that we know is the Christ drama from 2000 years ago was only the dress rehearsal for us for today. And I'm going, holy crap.
Yeah, holy crap.
Yeah, like really.
Wow.
What does that mean? Yeah. So, and my understanding has broadened a lot. And they say, don't get hung up on the labels that Magdalenes have existed since the beginning of the planet. And not only the beginning of the planet, but they are almost like a soul group. I mean, like an order of consciousness that any time, and they've shown me that there's a planet or a system or a galaxy in an ascension process that's going from one frequency level or stage of consciousness to the next. The Magdalenes raise their hands and they go, I'll incarnate, you know.
Oh, okay.
Because they act as the midwives of the shift of consciousness, because they carry this certain frequency. So they volunteer in all of these different systems to come forward and do that. And their mission is to seed the light. And they seed the light in the teachings, in the consciousness, in the aspects of nature. They seed it in the genetic lines. They seed it in the elements. So
what does that mean to seed the light? What does
that mean? That means to, it's kind of like raising your frequency. It means to activate the light aspect, activate the higher frequencies in all of those things. So
like to bump up the energy? To
bump up the energy. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, we talk about, I want to go back a little bit about frequency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the whole thing that we hear is, you know, even for mediums, you know, if you're going to contact the other side, raise your frequency. Did they tell you why it's so important for us to concentrate on frequency?
Well, it provides greater access to energy and access to information. So the more you can expand into the higher frequency, and it doesn't mean leaving totally the lower frequency. You know, what I've come to understand through this, it's like playing a piano. You need to have the facility of the lower registers all the way through to the highest registers. You know, you don't just go to the highest registers and stay there, because you, as you're gaining mastery over yourself and over your environment and over the world, you need to have that flexibility of the whole scale. And partly if you're going to interact with others and you're going to help you know, be an inspiration for them raising their frequency, you have to be able to meet them where they are at whatever lower frequency level they're in to help them, you know, energetically and in an information way, understand, you know, what they can do to begin to, you know, look at themselves and do their own work and what that means. So you have to have that facility, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. You know, I often wonder how or why we came in. You know, did we come in at a higher frequency at one time and then we fell and now we have to rediscover? And or is that part of our actual soul's growth? We come in lower and then we have to learn all this and strive for this, which grows our soul. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, but I think it's actually both.
Is it?
Yeah, because, you know, we're, many of us are already fully realized ascended beings.
On the other side, our souls. Yeah.
Right. And we come in and it's just part of the law of being in third dimension and of this density. You know, the rules for being here is we completely forget who we are and where we came from. And that's right. That demonstration to self of mastery. You know, how much are we willing to go within and do the inner work that we need to do and, you know, do the shadow work and, you know, address whatever rather than blaming someone outside of us or the situation outside of us to take responsibility, because all of that has lessons or information or guidance for you. If you know how to, you know, you're not afraid of it and you, you know, are able to get that information, then it releases the lower frequency. And to me, it's like dissolving like grease on a something, or all of a sudden the light can come in
and lighter and brighter,
bringing in more light. All of a sudden it's going to fill the vacuum. So the higher frequency just naturally fills the vacuum that now you've made available because you've released some of that denser material.
Right. And we'll talk more about that because that's, I think, about what your latest book is about. Yeah. But I want to go back just for a minute here, and we're going to break in 5 minutes. But when you did this second book with Claire, did you receive information that then you had to go around to the energy points of the earth and do something? How did that happen?
That actually happened from a completely unexpected reading that I had with somebody that lives in Virgin, Utah, who I didn't even know existed 12 hours before.
Wow.
A friend of ours, who's actually my co-author of another book that I wrote, Angelina Hart is her pen name. But anyway, we were up on the Smith Mesa up above Virgin, and my friend said, whatever happened to Merlin? There was a real guy named Merlin who owned property about 20 miles above her property, and Vicky said, oh, it was sold to a psychic. And I'm going, are they any good? And she goes, she's really good. So the next thing I knew, you know, before breakfast the next morning, I got a call saying that Mary Angela had cleared her schedule to be able to see us. So we ended up having these readings out of the blue.
And this was the psychic that bought the property?
This was the psychic that bought the property. And the original guy used to have a private pub on his property. So all the wayward Mormons would drive up the road to go drink where they couldn't be seen.
That's funny. So what did this psychic tell you then about the energy lines, the grid lines?
So I had the books. She goes, I've heard about these, but I haven't read them, the two Anna books. And then I said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with these, because Claire had gone into retreat. You know, the responsibility had kind of fallen in my lap. And then she basically gave me information. There was more personal information having to do with some of the things in my autobiography. But she said basically that there was a Christ grid that had been completed, which I knew about from the Ascended Masters in Angelic Realm around 2007. In that time frame. And she goes, that's only half of it. There's a corresponding, you know, whole series of divine feminine grids or Magdalene grids within the planet itself that need to be reawakened and activated. And the two come together kind of like twin flame union points. And I kind of sense that it comes together, it, you know, like interlocking the male and female as almost like an armature for the planet to help us ascend in this time period.
Can you go into a little bit for my listeners? What is a Christ grid?
Well, I'm sure most of your listeners have heard of ley lines, but ley lines are more like physical energy points or conduits. Mm-hmm. So what the Magdalene showed me, they said you have to realize that that form or density or a planet, she goes, if you were to take 1,000 levels and view it as 1,000 pieces of tracing paper, each level corresponds to a particular soul group, and that matter is layered light. So a grid isn't a physical thing. It's a series of layering that's connected to all kinds of consciousness and soul groups and energy. And it's bringing my senses, it's bringing it into an awakened state that then comes together in a harmonious interaction or flow.
Ah.
If that makes sense. That's how
Are both the Christ grid and the Magdalene grid within the earth, or is one outside and around the earth? What is your understanding?
My understanding when it was first given to me, the Christ grid was more around the earth and the Magdalene grid was more situated within the earth, but there's overlap for both of them.
Okay.
And I'm just intuitively being shown this. I mean, I have
right.
to prove it, you know.
Well, you can't, but I can tell you this real quick before we break for our little break here. But one time I was getting a reading from a medium and my son came in, Robbie, and everybody knows I do this work because my son crossed in 2010. But he told the medium, you know, I always ask, what are you doing, Robbie? I always want to know what's going on the other side. And he said, I'm working on the grid. And I had never heard that before, but there was, you know, even more things going on. So when we come back, I'm going to tell the audience how I got involved in one of Catherine Ann's wonderful tours and what happened there. And I have pictures to prove it. So we'll be right back.
Okay.
Om Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities. The story told in Entering the Light Fantastic, discovering life after life through orbs, is about Nancy Myers' spiritual and emotional rising from the devastating ashes of loss caused by the sudden and unexpected passing of her son, Robbie. Just like the legend of the reborn phoenix, Nancy's life purpose and focus was transformed. With the help from her son in spirit, Nancy found herself providing proof through orbs that our souls do not die with our bodies. In her second book, Encircled by the Light Fantastic, A Deeper Journey into the Light with Orbs, Nancy continues chronicling her path of gaining spiritual knowledge and expanding acceptance of what is possible while traveling to many sacred and ancient sites around the world. She shares these experiences with you along with her photographs of remarkable spirit encounters.
When I first saw a turtle, my heart was full. Not anything but lonely.
We had this like deep connection, this heart connection.
He just wants to be close to you and part of your life.
Every day with turtle is a perfect day.
When I'm holding her, it makes me feel calmer.
I think everything he does shows how much he loves us.
When we adopt a shelter pet, we discover they're a little bit of a lot of things.
But they're all pure love.
And welcome back. So, Catherine Ann, you were told somehow that you needed part of your work, your mission, was to reactivate what they called the Magdalene Grid. And you were actually given points or...
You
want to tell us how all that came about?
Sure. It was in this particular reading, and I was initially given 12 points, but I knew that Australia needed to be in there. So I had a second reading about a week later, and she confirmed, yes, that there really were initially 13 points. And I was given basically all of the places except the first one. And the first one I was told was on the Greenwich Mean Line, but I didn't know where. I had to figure that out. But when I was visiting my friend in Utah, I kept getting these calls from this woman in France, and like six calls. And I had, you know, talked to her a couple times. And then I realized that she lived near Lourdes, France. She was about 45 minutes from Lourdes. And I figured out, I researched it and found out Lourdes, France was the closest town other than Greenwich, England, to being right on the Greenwich Mean Line. And I went, oh my God, it's Lourdes, France. So that was that connection. I mean, right. Couldn't have made a bigger dropping it in my lap than this woman calling me repeatedly, you know,
right
when I'm having this reading in that time period.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then I was given all of these other places like Fortingall, Scotland, and another one in France and Australia. I didn't make it to all of those. I only made it to 9 physical places, you know. But anyway, they were all over. Ephesus, Turkey, you know. I mean.
So you worked on that for how many years? And you led tours to these also, right?
Yes. Well, I was given a specific time frame that was only from 11-11-11, which was the very first one in Lourdes, France. And then I was supposed to have completed them by 12-12-2014. So that was only 3 years. And to do all these places internationally, when I had never led tours, I had barely been overseas. The book had just come out. I mean, it was totally new to me. And I knew I could say no. I mean, I was given this information, and for like 3 weeks, I'm like a deer in the headlights, because this was the end of August of 2011. So it was August, September.
Yeah, 3 months.
It was only like 2.5 months away. And I thought, okay, I really better get on this if I'm going to do it. So finally, I mean, I was paralyzed like a deer in the headlights. I had no money. I'm like in debt. I'm like, how am I going to do this? So I just said to Anna and the Councils of Light, okay, I'm willing if you get me there. Well, I happened to have had a former roommate who was a senior flight attendant with American Airlines, and I was able to buy one of her 3 D3 passes to London for like $550.
Nice.
So I was able to do that, and I thought, okay, I'll do it. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do, but I'll just show up. And I'm going, you guys, you know, meaning the
tell me what to do.
Show
here.
Me what I'm supposed to do here, because I don't even know what a grid activation is. In my conscious mind.
Yeah, and I know, and I read about it in your book. You know, everything kind of unfolded, and you got the routine down and how to do this. Yes. I do have a question though. Did you ever find out? Did they ever explain to you why the Mary Magdalene grid had to be reactivated? How was it snuffed out, if you will?
I think some of it was from a lot of warfare and stuff like that through the ages. But then I have a feeling that we as Magdalenes deliberately put them to sleep in a way that that energy is almost like having
protecting
your nervous system in your body, you know, mm-hmm. that we put it asleep to protect it until this time where it couldn't be damaged beyond, you know, possibility of coming back. You know, it's kind of like an artery or vein that's going to carry energy in a certain way. And if you destroy it beyond a certain point, you know, you've destroyed the mechanism. So that's my kind of intuitive hit about it.
Okay. I just always did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you started these tours mm-hmm. to go to all these places. And as luck would have it, I belong to this group. We call it the Goddess Group. And one night, Catherine Ann was the guest speaker, and she came to the workshop and did a wonderful presentation, but she told us she was leading a tour to Scotland. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I went, I'm going with this woman. I want to experience this. Right. So we did. And it was a wonderful tour, and I'm going to refresh Catherine Ann's memory here a little bit. We did go to Fortingall. You mentioned that, and that mm-hmm. was magical. In fact, I have pictures of that and experiences about that in my book. But what we did was we got to go to Rosslyn Chapel. And again, this is right about, you know, the Da Vinci Code stuff, you know, and Rosslyn Chapel was prominent in that book. And early on in my orb photography, so you said, no, we need to go there. So we got to the chapel. And at that time, you pretty much had free rein. So you told mm-hmm. us, I'm going to sit in the pew and meditate and see mm-hmm. what it is exactly they want us to do. So as you were sitting there, I went to the back of the church. Of course, I can't sit still. And took a picture of everyone. So if we can bring up that next picture, Chris. Okay, so you are in the blue coat on the right.
Wow.
And do you see those orbs on each one of your ears?
Yes. And then the huge orb next to it.
Exactly. And I went, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And so I didn't want to disturb you. I let you finish. Well, you snapped out of that meditation and you said, I just got downloaded. I know exactly what to do. So I didn't even show you this picture until like the next
day. I've never seen this before. Yeah.
Wow. So you said we have to go on the outside of the church. Mm-hmm. And what I love about this, Catherine Ann, is the colors, orb colors are very important. And one is white and one is purple. Purple are the ascended masters. Wow. And white is the angelic realm. They can be. So anyway, thank you, Chris, on that. So anyway, you said, okay, we have to go outside and there's a Mother Mary statue on the corner of the building somewhere and we have mm-hmm. to line up diagonally.
I vaguely remember that now.
Yeah, we have to line up diagonally from that statue. So we did. And we stood all in a single file, all facing mm-hmm. the same way. And you were doing the activation. You were conducting the meditation. We were just supposed to stand there and act like, I don't know, maybe acupuncture needles or something.
Yeah.
But I literally could feel the earth move under my tennis shoes. It was like mm-hmm. rolling. And I felt my arms going up. Now, this is really early on in my spiritual path. And I go, what is going on? Well, I opened my eyes because my arms were like floating up all by themselves. And everybody's arms were floating up all by themselves as they closed their eyes. So everybody felt, I mean, this is real. You know, the energy was real. So when we finished, one of the gals that was in the group had just downloaded this new app and it said it takes pictures of the aura, you know, of people.
Right.
Well, she took a picture of where we stood. So can we bring that next photo up?
Wow.
This is exactly where we stood. Where there is no color is where we stood. And the color all around, you can see, was, you know, orange is, you know, fire action. Mm-hmm. And then the purple in the back. And I went, oh my goodness. So we did something, Catherine Ann. we activated something. And then the next day, we were having breakfast and somebody had, thank you, Chris, for that. Somebody had a newspaper and we were reading and there was a report of an earthquake not too far from where we had just done that. And so we all just kind of looked at each other and go, oh my gosh, did we do that? But, you know, we something happened. I mean, to me, that's proof.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's part of what Awakening the Lines are all about. It's like bringing light to places that have held darkness for so long. And it's not the first time. Apparently, and I tried to research it and find it, but apparently there were a series of earthquakes in Uluru in Australia about 4 or 5 days
after you left.
After Uluru, and also there was something, there was snow for the first time in 112 years in Cairo, in Egypt. After
wow. Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, these physical things happen and you kind of want to dismiss it. But I think they're things that shake up the old energy.
Yeah.
You know, as it activates it, it's like shaking off all of that density.
So we've been talking about raising the vibration of the earth. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about now your book. It's called Raising My Frequency, A Spiritual Journey Awakening to the More of Life.
Yeah.
So tell us, I know it's a memoir about how you awakened to the more of life. How did you realize all these things that were happening to you were raising your frequency?
It was a gradual understanding through all of these experiences that happened. And certainly a lot after I, you know, started working with Anna and the Councils of Light and Claire. And, you know, I began to understand it in a larger picture. And I have a YouTube video of a talk that I did last May about how the whole Christ drama was really about them coming in and setting the stage and seeding the light and starting to raise the frequency so we could have the shift of consciousness and ascension process that's going on today. So it's really different than what we're taught in religion, you know, about what the Christ drama was about.
Right.
And just a little aside on that, I have a feeling that what Jesus, Yeshua, you know, is his Aramaic name, was doing wasn't dying for our sins or anything like that. He was demonstrating to us that you can raise your frequency. You can become more and more an ethereal light body and still be connected to the earth plane. It doesn't mean you have to leave. So I think that's what he was demonstrating to us, because that's what's beginning to happen to us in this shift of consciousness now. So he was showing us, he was like the model for that.
You know, that's so interesting, because we're hearing now more and more about, you know, the shift going up to, you know, 4D, 5D, you know, and I read, I'm fascinated with Atlantis, and I read in a book one time, and I believe it was Edgar Cayce was talking about Atlantis, but he said that the Atlantis beings were ethereal.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't fully physical. You know, but yet they were still existing on the earth plane. And that, of course, was the golden age, right? When we were all supposed to be awakened and enlightened. So hopefully we're heading back to that. So what else has raising your own personal frequency been like? Well, let's talk
probably
about
the most difficult stuff I've ever been through and the most exalted stuff. It's like a roller coaster, you know?
Exactly. You know, I tell, and we talk about this in our groups, everything happens for a reason, and we may not realize it when it's happening, and we may be very mad or very sad or struggling a long time. But you now, looking back, clearly see how one led to another, to another, to another. So what would be guidance or words of advice for people who think they're going through all these struggles, or, you know, how do they cope? How do they sit in a positive frequency instead of getting drugged down?
Right. Well, there's a certain amount of inner work or shadow work, and I do work with people as clients when they get really stuck to help them, because that all has information for us. Mm-hmm. And shifts of consciousness and things that we learn from that experience. But it's, you know, the whole journey for me has shown that we're in a process of remembering who we are. And that remembrance is beginning to figure out how we connect to our own higher self, our own I Am presence, to figure out individually what our own unique language is, because we all have a different way of interpreting things and looking at things, you know, like even when you get messages, you know, from your higher self or spirit, how do they come to you? I mean, sometimes right. I see things on a license plate, or I hear something, you know.
Yeah. Don't discount anything, right?
Don't discount anything, you know. I mean, there rarely is something, you know, given to you straight on, you know. And it's like I tell people, connection issue.
Oh, no, you're okay.
I'm okay. Okay. So, you know, I tell people through all of this, you know, it's not like I have a wide open, you know, like downstream of downloads and energy. I feel like I have the barest thread, and that I'm in a soundproof room with the lights out and the shades down. And I just get the barest trickle of something, but I have to not dismiss it and just be willing to follow that and see where it leads or if it opens up. And I'm sure you can relate to this because you've done the same kind of thing.
Well, yeah, my son came in one time and he said, "Mom, follow the popcorn."
Yeah.
Yeah. That was his instructions to me. Follow the popcorn. You know, we're running out of time, but before we go, I know that you do QHHT. Is it QHHT work, you know, where you do the soul regression, right? But one thing I wanted to talk to you about, and so if people are interested, we will put, how do they reach you for that before I forget?
I have a website called frequencyraising.com.
Okay.
And there's a page for in-person sessions and for all of my books. And then I'm still working on the page for, you know, posting links to the various videos and audios and YouTube kind of
okay.
stuff.
Okay. But if they wanted to make an appointment for a reading, that's all done.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, doing this work and the people that we hang around with, you know, you always hear so many people say, "Oh, I was Mary Magdalene. Oh, I was Peter. Oh, I was so-and-so." And it's like, wait a minute, how can we all be, you know, this person? And reading your book, which your latest book, which you were brutally honest, I give you kudos for being brave. You put everything out there. But you talked about the soul stream aspect. Mm-hmm. Can you go into that a little bit and what that is?
Sure. I've come to understand that, you know, people think of reincarnation, that it's like a single life to a single life. And it isn't. You know, the Magdalene said this is a really crude example, but it's like an oak tree. So if you take Anna, who's the grandmother of Jesus, her oversoul, or the next higher level of Anna, is Portia, who's the twin flame of Saint Germain, actually. He's so involved with all of this. But they said, you know, if you have a huge oak tree that is labeled as the identity of Portia, one of the main limbs might be Anna in a particular lifetime. And then there are all of these limbs that come off of that that are aspects. And then in each season, all of the leaves are also aspects. So there are millions of leaves over a period of however many, you know, years the tree lives. They're all part of the soul stream. So and they said it's very crude. It's like you keep expanding your understanding and who you are through the various levels until you claim and become the fullness of all of that, you know.
So the DNA of these masters have spread throughout time, right?
Yes.
So we can all tap into that feeling, right?
Yes, we can. And for some, they hold more of a direct line of that DNA than others. It doesn't mean that others don't, but some of them have a you know, more of a foundational aspect. You know, and they said this is very crude because your linear minds can't really comprehend, you know, what they were trying to,
show them. But I had never heard that term, soul stream aspect. And then you talk about the collective soul stream, mm-hmm. you know, where we all tap into that. So I just wanted to make sure I got that in because, God, this hour flew by, Catherine Ann. I can't believe it. But I do want to thank you so much for taking the time. So once again, your website is?
FrequencyRaising.com. And I also have a website under Catherine Ann Clement. CLEMETT.com.
Okay. And mm-hmm. I would highly recommend her book. Any of them. But yeah. Now you do the readings over Zoom, yes?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. Well, I thank you so much. I have to let you go because I have to do my Leonini message, my guide, and do my quick card reading. So thank you, Catherine Ann. Thank you. It was a real pleasure.
Yes, well, thank you so much. And you've gone beyond the orbs and ales of Scotland.
Yeah, the orb and ale tour is what my husband called it. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Yeah.
Okay, that was fascinating. I hope you enjoyed that. I highly recommend reading any of those books that we talked about. So I sat down yesterday. And because I wasn't sure how much time I would have, so I channeled a message ahead of time. And I said to my guide, Leonini, I need a message that for my audience for this particular show. And this is what she gave me. I just am always awed. Before she gives me a message, she always shows me an image. And the image that she showed me was like a dirty windshield. And all of a sudden, the windshield wipers go on and clear the windshield. So hold that in your mind as I read this message. The windshield wipers on your car help keep your view clear. If it rains or snows, or if your windshield needs to be washed, with one flick of a button, there is clarity. Sometimes your view of life, your windshield if you like, can become cloudy or obscured. There are a lot of energies and circumstances that you wade through on a daily basis. These are not unnecessary, as each experience can carry a valuable lesson. But what is also necessary is for you to clear off the lower energies that can blur your vision. We encourage you to research the many ways available to you to clear your own energy. Think of it as a daily scrub or a daily hygiene practice. Make sure you check your personal windshield wipers as they do wear out and new ones, in the form of a new technique, may need to be applied. She just tied everything up with a bow, right? We were talking about raising your frequency and dealing with all the struggles. And here she said, we got to check our windshield wipers. So I hope you enjoyed that. So since we talked about Mary and Anna and Mother Mary and Yeshua or Jesus, all the ascended masters, I literally grabbed my deck of Ascended Masters. So this is the deck that I'm going to read for you today. So give me a minute. I'm going to shuffle. And I don't know which Ascended Master I will get. But I will do this quickly because I know I have like a minute left, but I want to leave you with a message from the Masters. Okay, so here we go. Shuffle, 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 shuffle. Okay. Okay. The Ascended Master that I got is Vishnu, if I'm saying that right. Vishnu, sorry. And what it says is trust. So Catherine Ann and I were talking about that briefly. When you get these nudges, when you get these messages, trust. Don't explain them away. Follow that popcorn. So I want to thank you once again for joining me, and I will see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.